You're listening to Play It Again, Swig. I'm Jocelyn Swigger, and I'm trying to learn all the Chopin etudes. I'm also trying to balance hanging out with my toddler, teaching full-time, and life's other distractions. This is my audio diary of that process. Well, it's Thursday, September 29th, and it's so long since I've recorded an episode of this podcast that it just took me a pretty long time to figure out how to put the headphones on and all the equipment. And I'm sure that I've totally forgotten my passwords. So I think that getting this episode up on the internet may be a little bit more of a project than I like to think of these as being. I was watching the movie The Princess Bride with a dear friend who had never seen it before, which was weird, recently, and came to the line where Inigo Montoya says, let me explain. No, it's too much. Let me sum up. And I thought, oh my God, that is exactly how I feel about my podcast. So I'm not going to explain, but let me sum up. I have performed all of the Chopin etudes as a show. It's a show. I have a dress. I have a costume. I have the shoes that I wear. I have a script. I haven't written it down, but I know exactly what I'm going to say at every point. I've performed that show between 15 and 20 times. I'm not sure exactly how many times. From audiences ranging, I think my biggest audience has probably been about 300. And my smallest audience has been like 10. So I've played it a lot. And my last concert was in Connecticut at the beginning of September, and now I don't have another Chopin concert scheduled until March, and I'm going to be recording them next summer. So this is my opportunity to really, really, really take them apart and make them be what I want. There are still moments, and I keep coming back to this, like there are moments that feel like they're just always going to feel difficult and awkward. And I have moments where I feel like, damn it, I'm not willing to have that be difficult and awkward anymore. I want to figure it out. And then I have moments where I think, well, I guess this is just difficult and awkward. So I'm kind of in between that right now. The reason that I am starting this podcast up again, despite the total lack of clamor for its reception, is that I think I need it as an accountability mechanism for myself. I've had enough mornings now in the last couple of weeks since that Connecticut concert where I felt like, oh, I don't have a concert for a while. It's okay if I don't practice. It's important for me to rest and recharge. And actually, I just need to get my butt on the bench and take some things apart and make them work. Let me play for you a little bit so you have some idea of what I'm talking about. All right, here's one of the pieces that is not easy yet. I'm going to stop because I want to point out, so most of that was actually pretty good and felt pretty good. But when I come to this point, I just kind of, it's like my pinky and forefinger kind of go dead and not all the notes come out. So it sort of sounds like that. Worst case scenario would be more like this. Best case scenario would be, except at tempo, even that. That's Opus 10, number 2, by the way. And that's even before it gets to the hard part, which is here. That's not so bad. That's not great. No. So I've had friends who are not primarily musicians or claim not to be musicians at all tell me that they've listened to this podcast and that they'll hear me play something and say, oh, that was terrible, and then play it again and say, that was much better, and they can't hear the difference. And I've been thinking about that and thinking about, you know, how much time and energy do I put into just a few seconds of music? And is there something a little bit crazy about that? Possibly. But I think the reason that it's worth it and important is that when I play it and it goes the way I want, it feels so good. And I don't just mean physically, although yes, that's part of it. But I also mean like all the brain chemicals, all the dopamine. It's just an amazing, amazing feeling to play that kind of thing and have it go well. And it's a pretty terrible feeling to play it and have it hurt. And I mean, what I just did didn't hurt, but have it feel sloppy and have this constant feeling of this isn't what I want. So when I'm thinking about what I'm chasing after, I think what I'm chasing after is having every moment of these pieces and everything I ever play, of course, but these pieces as my teachers, really having every moment of these pieces feel like I can not worry about what I have to do technically and I can just express the music. Again, maybe these are pieces where I'll never get to that point, but that's kind of that's the goal. That's what I'm chasing after. Speaking of technical stuff, here's some big news. This is part of the sum up. Of course, you knew that when I said, let me sum up and not explain, I was totally lying because, of course, I explain things. But I actually found a teacher I'm working with, and I'm so excited about this. Her name's Jackie Herbine. She's in Pittsburgh. She's an independent teacher. Her website is The Perceptive Musician, or no, The Physically Perceptive Musician. She teaches yoga. She teaches Alexander Technique, which is a sort of alignment body awareness method. And she just has incredible eyes and ears. But what she mostly is working with me on is not how the music should sound, but how I can make it do what I want. So I'm actually working with her to build up my bridge on both my hands. And what I mean by that is the knuckles that are at the top of the palm, right where the fingers connect to the palm. My pinky and ring finger on both of my hands really want to collapse to the side of the pinky. I'm over supinating, for those of you who like your anatomy and physiology terms. I've been over supinating and collapsing, and that makes the sound kind of go dead, and it makes it harder instead of having my hands be more balanced. So I'm trying to retrain my hands to be more balanced, and actually I feel an improvement. I think it's getting better. I'm doing a lot of exercises away from the piano, including squeezing little balls that actually light up if you bounce them, which is pretty fun. And a lot of what I'm doing is at the piano too, but I am excited that I have somebody who's giving me really specific exercises to work on and ways of thinking about things. So that's huge and exciting and great. So I've had, I think, three lessons with her now. I had a lesson with her in June and then another one over the summer, and then I just went for another one. And I feel like my hand is different. It's not where I want it to be, but it's better. This is what we're always chasing, right? Better, better, better. Anyway, so one of the things that she's having me think about, especially in this one, is the idea that when I play the chord, my pinky doesn't have to be tense. So right now I'm playing this with my thumb, my pointer finger, and my ring finger. And my pinky is doing ideally nothing at this point, right? Ideally it's just hanging out in space. But what I tend to do is hold it like this sort of tense little soldier in the air, not completely sticking up. I'm not doing that, but I'm holding it more or less where it wants to be, but with tension. So if I can get rid of that tension there, and then as I move to the next place, let the fingers that we're just playing, let them go, and then play 4, 5, sorry, that's ring finger and pinky finger, ring finger, pinky finger. If I can play them with a little bit of activity coming from the muscles in the palm instead of just kind of falling onto them. So I've been sort of collapsing onto them, and instead I'm trying to change them, and I'm sure it doesn't sound different to you at all. Not even a little bit. But trust me that it feels different. And I think that if I do it, so that was the way I'm trying to do it, And if I do it this way, maybe you can hear there's a little stumble at the top. That doesn't feel as good. And this feels better. If nothing else, maybe you can hear that feels, that's shorter and livelier. So it's getting better. Anyway, what I have to do with that is I have to practice this way. Make sure everything's nice and loose. Make sure everything's loose. Make sure everything's loose. Make sure everything's loose. And that one is the tricky one. I won't make you listen to all of that, but that's how I'm looking at that one. The other one that I'm really focused on right now is the Winter Wind, which I am tired of it not being easy. I'm just tired of it. Now, the thing that's kind of not ironic, some word that means completely obvious because they're both the same thing and that happens all the time. That's not ironic. But so the Winter Wind is actually really, 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 really similar to 10 number 2. So this thing is not so different from this. In fact, you can think about this as being, so this is this chromatic coming down, right? It's kind of similar to this. So it's kind of the same. One thing that's really smart on Chopin's part is that the chords that the right hand are playing totally match the harmonies that the left hand is playing. Can you hear that? That it's all the same chord. I'll play different chords and you'll hear that it's not the same chord. See, that's not the same chord. This is the same. It's all the same harmony. So even though there's this wiggly chromatic thing that feels, it that can feel sort of random about where the harmonies are, there's this foundation of the chord being really clear. So that's something I'm trying to think about. And I'm trying to practice every lick in the piece and really connect what the bottom part of the right hand is doing with what the left hand is doing to make sense of that. So for example, this is the same chord. No, I'm collapsing. That's better. I don't know if you can hear it, but it feels better. That was better, except I didn't do one note that I wanted. That was better. Anyway, so those are the two pieces that I'm really trying to go in on and take apart and focus and do that. So what I'm telling you that I'm going to do for next week, because if this is my accountability mechanism, I need to make sure that I give myself something to be accountable for. I'm going to practice every morning on weekdays and at least once on the weekend, which I can't always, sometimes it's tricky to practice on the weekend because I have my kid with me, but I'm just going to make it happen. So every morning on weekdays and at least once on the weekend. And the next time I get back with you, which I think will be in 2 weeks, I will play through Opus 10 number 2 and the Winter Wind Etude for you. I'm going to play both of those. Let me play them both for you now so that if you happen to listen to the two, like one right after the other, hopefully you'll hear some improvement. So I'm going to play Opus 10 number 2 and then the Winter Wind, and there may be some screaming and yelling, or it may be fine. We'll just see how it goes. So here's Opus 10 number 2.
This is the hard part, in case you're wondering. So I'm tired now. I'm going to play through just so you can hear it. But you can hear it's getting sloppy and it doesn't... no. And then it's such a relief to go into 10 number 3 after that. But wouldn't it be great if instead of it being a relief to go to 10 number 3... it felt like, ooh, that was really fun. Now let's do something different. 10 number 3 is this one. Okay, so here's a winter wind. Of course, normally I don't go into the winter wind right after 10 number 2, but normally I go into the winter wind having just played 25 other etudes. So, or no. Yeah, 25 other etudes. So we'll see how this goes. There's the beginning part, which I honestly never practice, but in performance, it's a lifesaver because it's right after the octaves. And so you need a place to relax. And then this chord is really fun. And then all hell breaks loose. So hopefully that'll be better the next time I play it next time. And I think it will be better. I think right now it's a little sloppy and a lot boring. And hopefully I will improve both those things. Okay, just one other thing that I wanted to sort of say that is a big development in my playing right now that I'm really excited about. I am getting up at 6:30 most mornings to do yoga for a few minutes. This is part of my managing my tendonitis so that I can play music. Basically, I wake up in the morning and my body hurts, and then I do yoga, and then I feel fine. So I have to do yoga. And the thing that's really exciting is that I have an accountability partner who is a singer who's pretty high profile, an amazing musician, somebody I really admire, just everything about her. Amazing musician, amazing human, wonderful instrument, wonderful musician. Anyway, she's my accountability partner, and we've been both getting up and doing what we need to do in the morning and then texting each other, I did it. And that's enormously helpful, and also is making me kind of walk around my days with the feeling that that I'm sort of in it with somebody, which is a really, really nice feeling. Kind of a little bit like back to student days when we would all practice and then go take our smoking breaks, which kind of functioned like group therapy, and we were all sort of practicing together. It's nice to have a feeling that I'm doing this thing that's part of my practice. I mean, I think the yoga is part of the musical practice in a way. And then I have a partner doing that. So I'm really excited about that. That's really a good thing. I think those are most of the main things that I have to report today. So I hope that the two or three of you who've listened to this have enjoyed it. If you do listen to this and you enjoy it, please let me know. I'm kind of not kidding when I say two or three people. My sense is that that's exactly how many people are listening. And iTunes isn't good about tracking exactly how many downloads and whatever there are. So I'd love it if you would let me know. If you've listened to this and you've enjoyed it and you would like me to continue, which I'm going to do anyway for now because I just need to make sure that I practice. But I'd love to hear from you. I have a Facebook page, Played Against Swig. Or you can write me a review on iTunes, or you can email me at jocelynswigger.com. I just would love to hear from you if you enjoy this. So I don't remember what my normal sign-off was, but I think that I say, so that's it. You can find out more about this project.